KCBO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg says his social media outlets have been hampered by the biases from third-party fact-checkers.
We're going to get rid of fact-checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S.
President-elect Trump announcing new investment in U.S. data centers from a Dubai businessman and vowing this.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
He called the judge in his New York hush money case crooked. The body of Jimmy Carter flown today to Washington ahead of Thursday's funeral at the National Cathedral. CBS's Mark Strassman says it ends several days of events in Georgia.
A remarkable 23,000 people came to pay their respects to the 39th president. It was a solemn mood for visitors who came to say their goodbyes. People of all ages and backgrounds walked through the hallways of the museum that told Carter's history.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A case of the mumps has been confirmed in Clark County. Mumps is caused by the mumps virus and can easily spread from person to person. It causes the glands in and around your mouth that produce saliva to swell. The swelling can lead to painful and puffy cheeks and swelling in the jaw and under the ears. The disease can spread 2 days before symptoms start and up to 5 days after. Some people may not show symptoms at all, but can still spread the disease. And it spreads through direct contact of droplets in the air. So by talking, coughing, sneezing, or sharing items with their saliva. Symptoms usually start with a fever, headaches, muscle aches, tiredness, and loss of appetite. A few days after is when the swelling might begin. Health experts say the best way to prevent mumps is to receive the MMR vaccine before exposure happens. And the Marshfield Clinic has completed its merger with the largest rural health system in the U.S., Sanford Health. However, the Marshfield Clinic brand will stay at Wisconsin locations, but Sanford Health will serve as a sister clinic. The two systems are expanding their care and making it affordable for their patients. In all, the two will cover 7 states with 56,000 employees, 46 hospitals, and 4,500 providers to cover their now 425,000 members. And the Wausau School Board held an informational workshop yesterday regarding a potential operating referendum for the April 1st election. The session was for information only, obtaining input about what will be brought up at the next meeting. Materials presented to the board indicated a recommendation for a non-recurring referendum of $68 million due to debt management practices deployed by previous budgets. The board will meet on Monday, January 13th. That agenda will likely include consideration of a referendum. And the next board meeting is Wednesday at the East High School Auditorium from the Elementary Restructuring Task Force. The agenda includes public comment and a request for potential action on the recommendations. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks win in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks dominated the Raptors, 128-104. Giannis Antetokounmpo needed stitches after cutting his right hand on the rim, then finished the night with 11 points, 13 assists, and 12 rebounds, his fourth triple-double of the season. Doc Rivers.
He didn't want to come out because he felt like he could finish, but it kept bleeding. It definitely was affecting him. You could see it really hurt his ball handling a little bit. Just set the whole tone to our team. And when your best player does that, it becomes contagious.
College basketball, the Badgers with a Big Ten conference win. On the road, 75-63 over Rutgers. John Blackwell had 21 points. NFL, Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffering a season-ending torn ACL. The Packers face the Eagles Sunday in the playoffs after losing to the Bears.
You know, every game is a new game, every week a new week. It's all about your preparation, energy. 24 hours, you know, this game over with. So, you know, we got to prepare for next week.
That's Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of sun, clouds, and chilly temperatures, with highs reaching the low 20s and winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. We'll stay partly cloudy tonight, crashing cold down to the single digits. And tomorrow, more clouds than sunshine, with highs in the teens and a shot of flurries through the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
On Thursday night, the Wausau West High School hockey team returns to play in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, traveling to Wisconsin Rapids to take on the Lincoln Red Raiders. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. It's Wausau West at Wisconsin Rapids in high school hockey. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:50, opening faceoff at 7 p.m. On your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Lake effect snow has moved out of southeast Wisconsin. Partly sunny skies across most of the state. Good winter driving conditions. Just a little seasonal January coldness, nothing to worry about. Great day to have you along. Big show today coming up at 12:30. Jack Kelly talking about his brand new article at wisconsinwatch.org. Yes, I know. We're still kind of getting over the effects of one big election. But there's another one on the way, and perhaps even more pivotal. If you're a Wisconsinite, Jack Kelly will be in talking about his article entitled Another Pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court Election Offers Two Familiar Outcomes. He will lay it out for us coming up at 12:30 on the program. A little after 1 o'clock, another edition of What's Worse, your chance to call in and weigh in on the lighter pressing issues of the day. Always a lot of fun. And speaking of fun, our very own Civic Media's Luke Mathers in at 1:30 on this Tuesday to make room for Jack Kelly at 12:30. We appreciate that. Luke being flexible. Well, I don't know. I don't have first. I just heard he is. He's flexible when it comes to scheduling. Luke Mathers in at 1:30. Tuesday tensions with Luke. We'll find out what's grinding Luke's gears coming up at 1:30 as well. Mr. Summers, did you watch any of the men's Wisconsin basketball game last night?
I did not.
It was fantastic. Got a big win over Rutgers. They looked good. Struggled a little bit here and there, but they led from tip off to finish. Got a nice win on the road at Rutgers. So Wisconsin off to a great start once again here. And they will play once again on a Friday at home as the Golden Gophers come to town. And speaking of the Gophers, I stayed around on I think it was FX1, which the game was on last night on television, and I was listening to Matt LaPay on the radio side on some of our Civic Media stations, by the way, via the Civic Media app for free. But then I stayed around on television and watched the Gophers last night in Ohio State. They literally just, what happened was that over time, the team thought that they were up by three. They were only up by two and fouled and ended up losing the game. It was not pretty at all.
That's brutal.
So the wounded Gophers will make their way into the Kohl Center on Friday. Broadcast time starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, men's basketball across Wisconsin can be heard on the Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And then tonight, coming up on a couple of those same stations, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, at 7:40 tonight, Wisconsin women's basketball taking on the Washington Huskies, going all the way out there to the state of Washington in the new Big Ten. And in case you hadn't heard, of course, the Packers play the Eagles. Broadcast time starts at 1 o'clock, kickoff time at 3 on select Civic media stations. So there's your quick sports update to start the show. Lots to get to today, so let's get right into it. At 10 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, we spent time yesterday appropriately remembering January 6th. Tragic day 4 years ago. The will of the people was attempted to be undone by insurrectionists that were instigated by Donald Trump. That's not my opinion. That's the facts as laid out in the bipartisan January 6th committee after having the hearings and taking testimony, much of which was from Trump or former Trump employees within the White House and cops, Capitol Police officers. As I've said on this program, as someone who was once the chair of the Public Safety Committee on the City Council that oversaw police and fire, I have a lot of I admire the cops a lot, law enforcement officers, EMS, firefighters, all the public safety people that keep us safe. And of course, like radio broadcasters or teachers or chefs or any other vocation, law enforcement and public service people, also you always get a couple of bad apples. And there are certainly areas in which, like all vocations, those folks, those areas can be improved. But by and large, I have long stood, just like I stand with our military folks, people who put on uniforms and throw themselves into harm's way for you and I are extraordinary people. And they have my admiration. That was the word I was trying to think about earlier. Mad cow. Sorry about that. And so we spent time, we heard from former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, which was on this program back in June. And we're going to hear from him in a moment once again. And yesterday, on a great site called Wisconsin Examiner, great journalism there at Wisconsin Examiner, headline reads, Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate comes to the defense of January 6th insurrectionists. Well, you think, okay, well, if you're of a certain ilk, well, see, the liberals want to defend. No. I'm not talking about the liberal candidate for Supreme Court in April. This happened on Thursday, by the way. And, you know, I guess there was other things going on. I don't listen, as it turns out, to a lot of Vicki McKenna, the conservative talk radio show here in Madison and Milwaukee, locally on WIBA in Madison on ISN in Milwaukee. I don't listen to them a lot, as it turns out. I tune in once in a while, but I don't, just to see what's going on. But over on Vicki McKenna's show, she had on the conservative candidate on her iHeart Radio podcast on Thursday afternoon, former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel, who is running in the April election for a seat in the state's highest court. And they were complaining that the January 6th defendants, quote, never got a fair shot, unquote, in court, and accused Democrats of abusing the court system for political gain. McKenna and Schimmel agreed that Democrats are guilty of, quote unquote, lawfare, political warfare via the courts. But it was Schimmel who specifically brought up January 6th. We don't play Vicki McKenna a lot on this show, but we have to credit where the audio came from. This is from iHeartRadio, Vicki McKenna's show last Thursday. Former Wisconsin Attorney General, Republican Brad Schimmel on January 6th.
The same thing for these January 6th defendants who were all prosecuted in the Washington, D.C. district, which is overwhelmingly liberal. This part of the manipulation is to go to districts like that. They would never take their prosecution in a district where you had a fair shot as a defendant.
Overwhelmingly liberal. Really, Brad? Really? These are people who were arrested, accused, were tried with a jury of their peers, went through voir dire, which is vetting during the process, discovery, were afforded every legal right under the Constitution. And the evidence was overwhelming, one of which we talked about in this program a long time ago, was from Wisconsin. The guy used bear spray, not pepper spray, bear spray, spraying it directly into the face of Capitol Police officers. Direct assaulting of Capitol Police officers. And Brad Schimmel, who was once, quote unquote, Wisconsin's top cop, is coming to the defense of criminals, convicted criminals sitting in prison who were found guilty through overwhelming evidence, and some of them confessed, by the way, to attacking cops, and Brad Schimmel doesn't think they got a fair trial. And apparently is on board with Donald Trump pardoning these people and putting them back on the streets. For a guy and a party who likes to yell ad nauseum, back the blue, what up, Brad Schimmel? Why don't you want to back the blue? Republicans across the country have hopped on the bandwagon to, quote unquote, flip the script of January 6th. New York Times reported in a long article detailing how Trump and his supporters, quote, laundered the history of January 6th, turning a political nightmare into a political asset, unquote. 2 weeks from now, the piece points out, Trump will take the oath of office on the very spot where his followers stormed the Capitol, kicked and stomped a police officer, beat another officer with an American flagpole, and broke into the building vowing to attack and kill the officials who were there to certify the election Trump lost. Oh, footnote. Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, a Democrat who lost the last election peacefully, calmly, and appropriately presided over that same ceremony yesterday in the same Capitol without incident. Former Republican Vice President Mike Pence, Vice President to Donald Trump, actually went on Twitter yesterday to say how much he admired her and how notable it was. Schimmel's comments stand out, according to this article in the Wisconsin Examiner, for a Supreme Court candidate to suggest that jury trials don't work and that the whole U.S. system of justice is so polarized it can't be trusted is deeply undermining of the very institution Schimmel proposes to join. We got time for the done clip, or we come back, Summers? All right, we come back. Because we're less than, 24 hours. We played this for you yesterday. Harry Dunn, a Capitol police officer, addressing what Schimmel is saying here. Brad Schimmel, and by the way, I've got a story about Brad Schimmel. I've told it on this show before. I'll tell you an abbreviated version of it. Maybe on the other side. Has to do with voter ID and voter suppression issues. It was literally the reason I left the Republican Party. And they called me to the stand in a federal trial about two blocks of where I'm standing right now. Federal Judge Peterson. Courtroom was packed, press, other people. Brad Schimmel was so sure of himself that he didn't even question me. Or was there as the main attorney. He sent one of his minions to do it, as Mike Ellis was fond of saying. He botched that up because he didn't do his homework. Brad Schimmel, why are you not backing the blue? Come back, talk about it. After this, your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
On Tuesday night, the Wausau West High School boys basketball team looks to stay undefeated in the Wisconsin Valley Conference when they play host to DC Everest. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. Wausau West High School basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing. It's Wausau West hosting DC Everest in high school boys basketball. Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. On your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now, past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Standing by in the green room. After the 12:30 break, Jack Kelly of the WisconsinWatch.org talking about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race has a great article on the broader sense of the race. But right now, previewing that, with this article in the Wisconsin Examiner by Ruth Conniff, another great reporter, on these comments by former Wisconsin Attorney General Republican Brad Schimmel, who now, by the way, is a judge down in, I think, Waukesha County, is the Republican, the conservative candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court coming up in April. He went on Vicki McKenna's show, conservative right-wing talk radio, on Thursday and defended the January 6th insurrectionists, those who have been found guilty in a court of law, a court that he now wants to sit on, or at least the Wisconsin Supreme Court version of it, and insinuated that what they did in D.C. was completely not kosher. And again, I've tangentially gone up against this guy. It's not about me, but the quick story is when I witnessed the Wisconsin State Senate Republicans, my boss was the exception and a couple of others, try to get through these bills that were signed into law by Walker to suppress voting rights. It's why I left the Republican Party. Fast forward, I ended up as the lead witness in a trial of which Josh Call, who was only an attorney then, not attorney general, was leading the charge, called me as the first witness. And Brad Schimmel, then attorney general, sent one of his minions. And the guy gets up before Judge Peterson, federal judge, and says, Your Honor, our understanding is Mr. Allball isn't even going to name names. It's all hearsay. I got on the stand and I named all the senators' names that I heard trying to suppress voting rights. They turned white, honestly. And the only thing they cross-examined, Schimmel was sitting behind him and he looked like he was stunned. Obviously, he had not done his homework and got bad information. And the only cross-examination question they gave me to my testimony under oath was, can you remember the exact day this happened? I said, well, if I go back and look at my calendar, I could give it to you, but I think it was whatever the month was. The guy's arrogant. He doesn't do his homework. And even worse, he is now defending January 6th insurrectionists. This from Wisconsin, or pardon me, from the United States, U.S., Attorney General's office. A Wisconsin man pleaded guilty today. By the way, this is from September of 2023. A Wisconsin man pleaded guilty today to a felony charge. Pleaded guilty. He was not, quote unquote, done in by some, quote unquote, liberal court. This guy pleaded guilty to federal charges related to his actions during the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Riley D. Casper, 24, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, pleaded guilty in district court in the District of Columbia to felony offense of assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees. According to court documents, on January 6, 2021, starting at approximately 1:50 in the afternoon, Casper sprayed an aerosol canister of what is believed to be pepper spray toward law enforcement officers attempting to secure the building and Capitol grounds. That day, Casper also communicated on social media with other individuals, declaring, among other things, and remember, this is him saying this, quote, "I pepper sprayed three cops so badly they got undressed and went home. As you can see in that video, it was my group that busted the first gate and kept chasing the cops down and pushing them back at the Capitol," unquote. Riley D. Casper, 24, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who pleaded guilty to that charge. He said that. And Brad Schimmel has the audacity to say that that guy is innocent, that that guy got a raw deal, to defend that guy. And has the audacity to say crap like, "Oh, I backed the blue." And don't take it from me. This is a Capitol Police officer we had on, Harry Dunn. This is what he has to say about this.
"We can have those discussions later, but this is about what's right and wrong. Y'all watched on TV, y'all watched on live broadcast, people beating the crap out of police officers on behest, on behalf of the former president. But that's not speculation. That's not the left grandstanding. That's not, that is what happened. The people that were there on January 6th said that they were there because the former president told them to come there. They were there with the intentions of stopping the steal and stopping the certification of the election. I don't understand, just because, yeah, it makes your leader look bad, how can you downplay, deny that truth? Like that. I hate the whataboutisms, and they don't understand how two things can be true. Sure, you want to win the presidency, you can be want to be conservative, and you want to take away Roe v. Wade. That's fine. Like, I have my own opinions about that. But when it comes down to what happened that day, those people were sent to the Capitol by the former president to attack it.
Harry Dunn, Harry Dunn, Capitol Police officer, former Capitol Police officer who was on our program back in June. And Brad Schimmel doesn't want to defend him. He wants to defend guys like Riley Casper of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who admitted that they pepper sprayed with bear spray three of our cops, our men and women in uniform. And he has the audacity to say he wants to run down for Supreme Court to be the, you know, a guy of the law, rule of law. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark, or pardon me, Gary in Sussex was first. Gary, I'm sorry, we're up against the clock. If you can make it quick, go ahead, Gary.
I can't. I was watching Fox yesterday morning, and there was a guy on there that is facing 5 years in prison for the word impeding. He said that the cop said that he was among the crowd and he was impeding. And every single person that was there, 100,000, were impeding. So they just picked him and out of the 1,600 people that they arrested, and he's facing 5 years in prison. Never went into the building, never hit anybody.
Okay, I'll give you, you know, just to make, because I'm up against the clock, I'll give you that one. But agree or disagree,
okay,
this guy, Casper, 24 Pulaski, and guys who pepper sprayed cops, do you think Schimmel should be defending him?
No.
Thank you.
I believe that and broke the law and pepper sprayed. No, he shouldn't.
You and I, on that point,
they should be thrown in prison.
See, perfect. That's reasonable, Gary. That's reasonable. And I think voters in Wisconsin, even people who voted for Donald Trump, agree with Gary and me that people who attack cops should go to jail. And the fact that Brad Schimmel doesn't think that is disqualifying for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Back after this, talk with Jack Kelly on this same race. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for Tuesday.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Butter consumption in the U.S. is at an all-time high.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Wisconsin is one of the country's biggest dairy producers, and butter is a big part of that production. Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland, Haley Heinzel, talks about Wisconsin's butter production.
Butter is made from simple ingredients, just cream and salt. And if you're buying unsalted butter, it is just 100% Wisconsin dairy. Our dairy cows make sure we have plenty of cream available to keep Wisconsin's 13 butter processing plants busy, making Wisconsin one of the top two butter producing states. All this butter finds its way to the grocery store shelves around the country, with the average American consuming 6.5 pounds of butter each year.
That's Haley Heinzel, Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland. I'll have a look at your midday commodity markets right after this.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to 6 locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
What makes Dairyland seed corn different? The right stuff. More options to help you fight corn rootworm pests. A variety of hybrids with an advanced combination of above-ground pest control and herbicide tolerance. And a ton of other options supported by direct access to agronomy experts who will help you get the most out of the ideal seed for your Midwestern acres. The right corn for you and the right people by your side. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedCorn.com.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your January 7th commodity markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at $4.55. That is up 2.75. December new crop corn is trading at $4.44 and a quarter. That was down 1 and a quarter. Cash beans are trading at $9.87 and a half. That was down 5 cents. And November new crop beans are trading at $10.10 and three quarters. And that is down 2 and a quarter cents. March cash wheat is trading at $5.42 and three quarters. That was up 2 and a quarter cents. And July 2025 new crop wheat is trading at $5.63 and three quarters. And that is up 2 and three quarters. On the dairy side of things, February Class 3 milk contract is trading at $21.15 a hundredweight. That is up 3 cents. And March Class 3 milk contract is trading at $20.65 a hundredweight. And that is up 7 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A mix of sun, clouds, and chilly temperatures, with highs reaching the low 20s and winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. We'll stay partly cloudy tonight, crashing cold down to the single digits. And tomorrow, more clouds than sunshine, with highs in the teens and a shot of flurries through the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's another edition of the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joined former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself as we talk high school sports, looking at what's going on in high school boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey, plus special guests. At 6:25, it's our coach guest for this week, as we are joined by DC Everest head hockey coach Dan Vanslyke. The Evergreens off to a good start this season in the top half of the Wisconsin Valley Conference standings. Then at 7:06, it's our student athlete guest from Wausau East, senior guard Jaden Garrett. Garrett has helped the Lumberjacks to an outstanding start this season as they battle at the top of the conference standings. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. Wednesday, 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Tim Dennis, host of the Darkness Radio podcast, joins the show. Then we talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene with comedy sports head coach Mike Kauf. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and have having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Talking about all things Wisconsin State Supreme Court race-wise in this hour. Yes, I know, we just got done with a major election, but guess what? It's part of living in Wisconsin. We are ground zero once again. Going to talk to Jack Kelly of Wisconsin Watch in just a moment. Want to finish up the callers on the line talking last segment about the fact that one of the candidates, the conservative former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, was on conservative talk radio in Madison and Milwaukee on Thursday defending the January 6th people who have been convicted in jail. This guy like Riley Casper, 24, of Pulaski. He admitted, he pleaded guilty. He wasn't a victim, quote unquote, of any sort of lawfare. That's the new Republican MAGA term for weaponizing the justice system. This guy pled guilty and posted on his own social medias, quote, "I pepper sprayed three cops so bad they got undressed and went home. As you can see in that video, it was my group that busted the first gate and kept chasing the cops down and pushing them back at the Capitol," unquote. That's what he wrote about himself and was convicted and sentenced in a federal court. And now Brad Schimmel, who has the audacity to run around with the rest of the MAGAs talking about backing the blue, doesn't do it indeed because he wants this guy who pled guilty to attacking a police officer to go free. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark in Prairie Stack, thanks for holding. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, well, it's no surprise that Brad Schimmel would do this. Let's remember, Brad Schimmel was the guy who gave Scott Jensen an easy out, gave him a misdemeanor rather than a felony charge. So Scott Jensen continued to be a lobbyist, and, you know, little Mr. Schimmel probably gets plenty of money from the firm that, from the outfit that Scott Jensen represents, you know, when he goes to campaign for anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brad Schimmel is just disgusting in this case. I mean, that all. I struggle to remain FCC compliant.
And that, please do.
And I wouldn't be if I met the guy face to face, but unfortunately the guy is a judge, and if you get nailed in whatever county he's in, he'd probably hold that against you if you called the guy just exactly what he is to his face, because this is just disgusting. Defending what happened on January 6th is just, like you said, it should be just completely disqualifying.
And
for Vicky McKenna to not call him out on this to say, this guy bragged, but he was bragging about assaulting police officers.
Right.
And Brad Schimmel thinks that's the kind of guy that should get a pardon.
And maybe
that
maybe
he's been mistreated.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Maybe Zomers, we can pull it up for later on the show. We interviewed Glenn Grothman, very conservative Republican, now congressman. I've known him since he was a state senator. Hey, keep me honest, Zomers, if we could get it later on. We interviewed Congressman Grothman down at the RNC in Milwaukee this summer. And I believe he said, even Glenn Grothman said, yes, the people who are attacked police officers should be in jail.
If I remember correctly, he said that. But
yes, we'll make sure that I'm keeping myself honest. Also, nobody better to do that than the great folks at Wisconsin Watch. You can find all of their work at wisconsinwatch.org. Great reporter Jack Kelly joining me here in studio. Jack, we don't get a lot of in-studio guests. I'm glad I put deodorant on today.
Well, I'm glad that you did that as well.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
How are your holidays?
Things were great. Yeah. A nice calm before the storm, as I'm sure we're going to get into.
Well, let's get right into it. You and I were talking before we went on the air that once again, Wisconsin's ground zero for yet another election. Explain to folks why that is.
Yeah, so April 1st, this is not a joke, we have another potentially majority shifting state Supreme Court election. So, of course, we are familiar with this from just a couple of years ago in 2023 when we saw Janet Protasiewicz and former Justice Dan Kelly have a pretty good knockdown drag out, which Protasiewicz ended up winning quite handedly to flip the state Supreme Court from conservative control to liberal control. And we have seen in a number of ways how influential that has been in Wisconsin politics. And that's potentially on the line again. Longtime Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. She's kind of
from Richland Center, by the way, my hometown.
Oh yeah, yeah. And she, you know, she's kind of the court's liberal lion. She has anchored the majority for the last 2 years, but has been a liberal voice on the court for decades. And so, yeah, there's a vacuum here. There are two sides that are very interested in you know, feeling like their allies control the court. And I think we will see that as the race unfolds.
Again, all these stories, this one and others, a great organization, WisconsinWatch.org. This one entitled Another Pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court Election Offers Two Familiar Outcomes. Talking about the liberal justice or liberal candidate, Susan Crawford, a Dane County judge endorsed by the court's four current liberal members against a former Attorney General, Republican Brad Schimmel, who now serves in Waukesha County as a county judge. And neither party is really, it's always technically nonpartisan, quote unquote, but Democrats have come out for Crawford and Republicans have come out for Schimmel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's the best way maybe to think about these races in your head are they are nonpartisan on paper only.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, you know, just looking back at 2023, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin was, I believe, Janet Protasiewicz's biggest financial benefactor. Mm. You know, they spent something like $10 million to help her get elected. I think we should expect a similar figure, if not a bigger one, this cycle on behalf of Susan Crawford. And Brad Schimmel, I mean, this is a guy who has been elected to statewide office before, you know, maybe a little bit better equipped in the campaign than former Justice Dan Kelly was, who he was originally appointed to the court and has failed twice to get elected to a 10-year term. So, yeah, I mean, partisan honchos are definitely raised for this one, largely because of the court's influence and what control of the court means for Wisconsin politics.
And not just for Wisconsin, right? Because a lot of people are saying, well, why is this? Because 50-some-odd million dollars were spent in the Protasiewicz race. I think most people are predicting this one could top $100 million. And people are saying, why in the world would we do that? This is the first really big, high-profile campaign or race post-November 5th, number one. And number two, guess what, folks? Wisconsin very likely will be again the swing state and ground zero for the 2028 presidential campaign. So controlling the court here is paramount to both sides.
Yeah, it definitely is. And just, you know, this race is the first one in a series of races. We were talking about this before we came on air. Buckle up for judicial elections in Wisconsin, because not only are you going to be electing circuit court judges at the local level and appeals court judges, you're going to have a Supreme Court race to grapple with if you are a voter in 2025, 2026, 27, 28, 29, and 30. And so it's not going away. And so even though not all of these elections are potentially majority shifting, you know, both sides are going to still be really invested in them, because the only thing better than a 4-3 majority is a 5-2 majority or a 6-1 majority, et cetera, et cetera. So, we're going to see a lot of spending and a lot of it's going to be a lot of noisy marches in early Aprils.
And I think a lot of voters, they're just like, you know, I don't do Supreme Court races, i.e. I don't get involved. They're boring. I'm not sure what it really means. They're not the quote unquote politically sexy races. But you point out in this article at Wisconsin Watch, this really means it has an effect on everyday Wisconsinites. Talk about a couple of these cases that you write about that stand out, where the liberal majority had an effect this last session.
Yeah, I mean, two of them really stand out, right? The court flips to being controlled by the liberal majority in August of 23. I was on your show shortly thereafter. They wasted no time in kind of remaking the court in their own image and the way that they wanted it to function. And then they started to pursue some really high profile cases. They took up a redistricting case throughout the state's gerrymandered voting districts. And I mean, we saw that yesterday when lawmakers were sworn in at the Capitol. Democrats picked up 14 seats across the two chambers and put themselves in striking distance potentially to win the majority in 2026. Under the old districts, that would have been virtually impossible. I mean, truly, you know, pigs would fly. Some incredible things would have to happen for Democrats to have won under the old maps. Also, voting rights. I mean, this was very controversial. Just a couple of years ago, the then conservative-controlled Supreme Court said that you can't use unmanned absentee ballot drop boxes to return your ballot. Obviously, it became very popular during COVID. It was a way to return your ballot without having to interact with any other human beings. And the liberal court reversed that as well, saying that, you know, state law does not prohibit them and clerks could use them. And so those are just two high profile political ones. And they touch on, you know, many, many other things that maybe you wouldn't expect the only two other cases that they settled for three last term. One was about whether or not Catholic Charities Bureau qualifies for an exemption from paying into the state's unemployment system. And then the final one was whether or not a small village, I think it was Egg Harbor in Door County, was allowed to use eminent domain to seize this sliver of land because they needed to build a sidewalk. People kept having traffic incidents right there. So
things are tight up there at Egg Harbor if you're trying to go.
They are. Yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, the court can go from the most profound political questions to whether or not you can take this tiny sliver of land on the side of the road. But, you know, it is really influential. I mean, we're going to see it in a lot of other things that are before the court right now. There's an abortion rights case. Obviously, that's one of the most personal issues to many folks. You know, we have had questions about executive power and the separation of powers. We have another case, another piece of the same lawsuit actually coming up before the court again next week in terms of the way that the legislature is allowed to review certain executive branch functions. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much that comes before the court. And as we see, the legislature and the governor continue to be a loggerheads on a lot of issues, the court's influence continues to rise because somebody has to answer the questions. And the way that the system works is that it's them. So we'll see a lot of this.
We're talking to Jack Kelly, reporter for Wisconsin Watch, wisconsinwatch.org, on this Supreme Court race coming up in Wisconsin in April. There will be no primary for this race because it's just the two candidates, correct? So,
As of right now, yes.
I mean, the filing deadline is, I guess, today at 5 o'clock. Right. So unless somebody's out there really getting their signatures this afternoon. There will be, we'll go into that now, but there will be, it appears, if all the signatures are found valid, appears to be a primary for Wisconsin State School Superintendent. There may be three candidates for that, but on the Supreme Court side, it'll go right to April. I want to talk just a couple of minutes here about one of the things you write about in the article that I think is important because the narrative, and I know you're not here to, for partisan purposes, but I think the narrative on the right, having been a former Republican, is that, if you get Crawford in there, it's just going to be completely whatever the liberals want. But you point out in your article here, you say the majority of the court, being liberals, also declined to redraw Wisconsin's congressional maps, despite being prompted by a Democratic-aligned law firm. So this court has not always done what the liberal side wants.
No, they haven't. That is true, It's the congressional districts is a significant one. You have to take into the context what exactly are they doing. I mean, they put Dean Phillips on the primary ballot. You know, then candidate Joe Biden really did not want that. They declined to boot Jill Stein from the presidential ballot, the Green Party candidate, even though the DNC had asked them to. It's interesting. I think there are some folks in the world of Democratic politics and the kind of liberal legal world that would like to see them go farther, faster. The court's liberal majority is really marching at their own beat and doing things the way they want to, right? I mean, just looking at the redistricting case, they didn't say that they had to throw out the maps because partisan gerrymandering violates the Wisconsin Constitution. They threw them out on a technicality. Right. They didn't even consider that question in the lawsuit, which I'm sure the folks that filed the lawsuit would have wanted them to, and they would have wanted that ruling because it really would have, killed gerrymandering in Wisconsin for good unless, you had another court overturn the ruling. So, gerrymandering has ended for now is what I always say because it could always come back around. But yeah, it is interesting for sure. In all 14 cases this term, in the last term that they disposed of, the liberal justices voted together in all 14 of them. They didn't do that in previous terms when they were a minority. They would break with one another, and they didn't do this time around, though they did take far fewer cases than in previous terms. So,
again, I know you're not here to be partisan and you don't have a crystal ball, but just based on your reporting and your experience looking at this court, do you think, this is a real question I hear from people around the state. Okay, well, if the court flips again, let's say that Crawford would lose this race and Schimmel gets in and now it's a conservative court, we're going to come back and talk about Hagedorn maybe being, the Sandra Day O'Connor of Wisconsin, a flip vote here. But is there if the conservatives would retake the court in your reporting, do you get a sense that Republicans or conservatives could bring back a lawsuit to reverse the current maps or things like that?
You know, it's hard to say for sure. Because with every lawsuit, looking at redistricting, for example, that comes, you check another one of the boxes of the things that you could challenge the maps on. Mm. And so it's hard to say for certain, but You know, we live in Wisconsin. There are a lot of lawyers who are very clever here, so you never know.
As my old math teacher Art Hitt used to say, always possible. Come on back. Going to talk with Jack Kelly at WisconsinWatch.org. Your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The 2024 election was certified January 6th by Congress with no objections, accusations of fraud, or violent mobs. Why was it, well, blissfully boring? Vice President Kamala Harris handed each state's Electoral College letters of certification to tellers, who then read them out loud. When complete, the total was announced and Trump was declared the winner. The whole process took less than 30 minutes. What changed? The Electoral Count Reform Act was implemented, making it harder for Congress to derail certification. Election rules were tightened in many states, but in battleground Michigan, where voter access was dramatically expanded, Trump won. After losing in 2020, he claimed widespread voter fraud in Detroit. Hand-counting activists have also been curiously silent. Were the voting machines different this time? Electronic ballot tabulators, the target of conspiracy theories and multi-million-dollar lawsuits, are still on the job and recognized as far more accurate and less costly than hand-counting. What about the legions of undocumented immigrants Trump claimed last October would vote illegally? There was no widespread evidence of non-citizen voting in this or any other U.S. election. Other than no criminal conspiracy to overthrow the results, not much did change. Our 2024 election was secured by many of the same heroic election officials doing the blissfully boring work of democracy. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2, another look at what's worse, your chance to call in on the lighter side of the news, and our own Luke Mathers at 1:30 with Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. Talk about the Brewers signing somebody to a minor league contract. That's good news. A Packer injury is bad news. All that and more coming up with Luke Mathers at 1:30. Right now, we are talking to the great Jack Kelly, great reporter at WisconsinWatch.org. Brand new article. You can check it out at WisconsinWatch.org on the pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court race. That's right. Wisconsin voters were going to the ballots again on another major race coming up in April. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines back in the old home county of Richland, Yuba. Lee in Yuba, thanks for calling in. Lee, listening to WRCE in Richland Center. You have a question for Jack. Go ahead.
Not necessarily for him, although he's given some very good information. I wanted to compliment you on your program this morning. Very informative.
Thank you.
But you were talking earlier about people not being able to tell the truth. And I think we've got, with Trump, we've got... the Antichrist in charge, and it's a shame that none of the Republicans that are running are able to tell the truth about anything. And I guess what fries me is that a lot of people want to make this a Christian nation when they don't know much about Christianity. I mean, they just it's just, you know, words that mean nothing.
Right.
But anyways, I think we've got a totally... unstable bunch of people that are running for various offices, and we really need to do something to keep in touch and keep informed, and I appreciate everything you're doing to do that. So
thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 855-752-4842. Jack, I want to get back to this article again in Wisconsin Watch. And one of the really interesting parts about this article, and you laid out here so well, and people, I think, even I've not forgotten about the guy, but you just don't hear about Brian Hagedorn, who, for those of us of a certain age, remember people like Sandra Day O'Connor and Justice Roberts, who were conservatives appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, but who would swing and vote with liberals on the court on certain issues. Kennedy, of course, was the deciding vote in marriage equality in the state, or in this country, rather. And you kind of have the same deal with Hagedorn on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Tell us, Jack Kelly, why is it that Hagedorn is rooting for Schimmel pretty hard because he becomes relevant again?
Well, if Brad Schimmel was elected, I think it would be pretty safe to say that of the justices, the one that would wield the most influence would be Brian Hagedorn. I mean, if you just look at the three court terms before the liberals took control of the court, I think it was something like 62 cases.
Yep. 61, you write 60, the article.
Yeah, that were settled 4-3 along, you know, 4-3. So, you know, very narrow decisions. Mm-hmm. And Hagedorn was in the four justice majority in 50 of them. Yeah, so there's only 11 times that he was not weighing in and helping shape the majority opinion in these cases. And that is really, really significant. And I mean, that is especially true when you look at the political cases, which are often the ones that garner the most attention. I think he was in the majority in 15 of the 16 of the political cases. And really, you know, across the board was willing to go back and forth, right? He ruled against Donald Trump's effort to overturn the 2020 election, siding with the liberal justices. He went along with his conservative colleagues to let, you know, a least change redistricting process happen after the 2020 census, and then ruled with his liberal colleagues to pick the maps that the governor drew, only to reverse. He ruled with his conservative colleagues on things like drop boxes. So he really does wield a lot of influence when conservatives are in the majority. And it's funny you said that, you know, like, you know, he is pretty low profile, yeah. As you know, when it comes with the justices, especially recently. I mean, we've seen a lot of, you know, someone like Justice Jill Karofsky, who has been, you know, not combative but outspoken during hearings. You know, she's definitely had some sound bite moments during oral arguments in court. And Hagedorn has not had that. Also, you know, I've done a lot of reporting on kind of the internal feuds of the justices and the way that the court is run. And, you know, when I was on the program a year and a half ago talking about that, and Hagedorn, you know, we'll send an email from time to time to his colleagues talking about it, but for the most part, stays out. He never engages with reporters like me, even when I reach out to talk to him. No,
doesn't want to talk.
No, and he doesn't, you know, particularly doesn't want to comment about the affairs of the court. You know, I believe he's a real institutionalist.
I just got to say that to me aligns with what a state and a national Supreme Court justice has traditionally been.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, this court is unique in a lot of ways. You know, is very influential. And I think that, you know, he, for the most part, tries to steer clear of some of the kind of internal power struggles, particularly right now between the liberal justices and the Chief Justice and then Rebecca Bradley. So.
And he's not up until 2029 again, if he chooses to run.
That's right. I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, these 10-year terms,
right.
10 years is an eternity in the world of politics in some ways. You know, you can take stances and rule in certain ways. And, I think the idea of a 10-year term is that you can take a stand that maybe it would be popular with your voting base, and 9 years later, people don't remember about it.
Now we have AI. Hey, chat, or whatever it is, you know, tell me about his record. a couple of minutes left is all, Jack. It always goes way too fast. Again, this story is at wisconsinwatch.org. Anything I have not asked you that you think is important for our listeners to know, this article or anything else in your reporting?
I just think that, you know, this, when we talk about politics, you know, we often talk about power, right? Who has power? Who doesn't? Who can set the agenda? Who's on the back burner. Right now in Wisconsin politics, you know, one of the real centers of power in a way that we hadn't maybe seen previously has become the court. And I think that, you know, voting for your state representative and your state senator, and they knock on your door, and that is really important, is obviously much more competitive now. These are seven people who you probably don't know the names of, because not everybody's like you or me. And they're really important, and they can and do have a profound impact on your life. So this is an election to watch for sure.
April 1st, no joke, that's the Supreme Court race. Jack Kelly at Wisconsin Watch, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Back hour two after this on the Allball Show on Civic Media.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn, America's mayor held in contempt of court. Former AG Brad Schimmel thinks Dems are guilty of lawfare. And will Wisconsin ever have binding referendums? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. During a wide-ranging news conference at Mar-a-Lago, President-elect Donald Trump refused to rule out military or economic action to have the U.S. take control of the Panama Canal and Greenland. He also shared his concerns about the war in Ukraine.
It could escalate. That war could escalate to be much worse than it is right now.
In Atlanta, there was a gun salute as former President Jimmy Carter's casket was loaded onto a plane bound for Washington, D.C. Later today, he will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol ahead of his state funeral on Thursday. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has announced Facebook, Instagram, and Threads will stop using third-party fact-checkers in the U.S.
Fact-checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the U.S. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system.
Users will add notes to posts they think contain false or misleading information. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
I'm Brittany Merlot.